Chapter 27, Part 2. He whose movement is good will leave no tracks. We would like to look at the initial verses of Chapter 27 of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. He whose movement is good will leave no tracks. He whose speech is good will not give cause for blame. He whose counting is good will need no tally. He whose closing is good will need no bolts. Yet no man will be able to open what he has shut. He whose binding is good will need no knots. Yet no man will be able to loosen what he has bound. The first sentence of this section, "He whose movement is good will leave no tracks," is rather strange and difficult to understand if you perceive it in the light of what is going on in the world today. On the face of it, all who have sought and found contact with the Gnostic spiritual school are good people. They are known to be good. However, though their goodness may be religious or humane or a combination of both, it is nevertheless a product of their nature-born ego. Can you honestly say that your attempts at goodness have never left deep tracks behind them? Perhaps you have been thinking about this since you read the previous chapter. Haven't there been many times when your goodness has caused deep wounds? Haven't you set limits on your goodness, only doing good towards those you thought deserved it? Has this never aroused jealousy in others? How many times have you embroiled others in difficulties precisely because of your efforts to help them? And why do you act so kindly towards some people whilst showing a complete absence of kindness towards others? It is worth thinking deeply about questions like these, because in fact, your attempts at goodness have left many deep tracks behind them. These tracks prove all too clearly that you are not someone whose movement is good. You certainly look nice enough. Nature-born goodness is your signature. But there is a saying, "He is not as nice as he looks." The fact is that your goodness, however good it may be, still leaves tracks. It carves deep grooves in the soul. The goodness of the human ego, whether applied by individuals or by groups, always makes a mess of things. Sages know this, and they warn people about it. They allow you to see and taste your own reality, and it causes you pain. How can you resolve this problem? Virtue and knowledge can help you. The powerful urge towards religion or humanism or the artistic appreciation of beauty or the acquisition of knowledge or a combination of these things which you have been feeling ever since your youth is actually something very remarkable, and it can form the basis for a totally new life. For this urge is in fact caused by the touch of the rose power of the kingdom of God within you. All you need to do now is to turn this inner basis into an absolute virtue, into a liberating virtue. So the basis for virtue is present within you. But there is more, for knowledge too is present within you, and it is there for you to use. Please understand this as it is meant. We do not mean the knowledge you learned at school, the kind of knowledge you need to get through life in the world of antitheses. We mean knowledge of the one true life, the universal doctrine. This doctrine of life is engraved in the primordial atom, and the Gnosis reveals it to you in order to stimulate and hence to set free in your own inner being the path to true knowledge. So if only you can combine that knowledge with virtue, with your inner urge to be good and to do good, it can and will set you free. However, you need to take to heart Chuang Tzu's warning. Virtue and knowledge are dangerous means and may not be used recklessly. If your virtue is real and your fidelity is firm, but these things do not permeate your mind, what then? The urge towards perfect virtue, towards radiant goodness, is deeply anchored in many people. Similarly, there are many who intellectually have the whole of Gnostic philosophy at their command. These are wonderful possessions. The former group is led by the heart, the latter by the head. However, separated from one another, these two attributes are useless and even dangerous. And even if the heart and head are allowed to function together, this can still leave deep tracks if the ego of nature still rules your life. Furthermore, says Chuang Tzu, Tao cannot be divided. To divide Tao is to break the unity. This is an extremely important saying, which shows that the real gnosis, the sanctifying and redeeming gnosis, cannot possibly be conveyed through the display of goodness on its own or through teaching on its own. Tao can only be experienced in its completeness, or not at all. That is why every human being needs to seek the way to Tao, to find it and experience it himself. We have seen that the personality is equipped with some mighty abilities. All these abilities can only achieve their real potential and will only be able to function in the proper way if they are applied in the correct combination, in cooperation with the microcosm and the divine source at the center of your being. Virtue and knowledge must impel you to walk the path, to practice the new approach to life. You must return to the original nature by following the enduristic path on which your whole nature-born self is sacrificed. That is the point we have been trying to explain. It is the key to the whole meaning of life. The mistake human beings make is to think the mental and moral endowments they possess, considerable though they may be, are already fit for use, and that by exerting them they can spread blessings, knowledge, wisdom, and progress in the world around them. That in this way they will be able to serve the gnosis and humankind. But Tao cannot be divided. To divide Tao is to break the unity. That is why if you really want to benefit from what is conveyed in the temples of the Rosy Cross, you will need to put the new approach to life into practice. You will need to walk the path yourself, right to the very end. If you do not do that and you nevertheless try to use your imagined abilities, you will leave deep tracks behind you. You will sharpen the contrasts between the antitheses and you will multiply evil. If you recognize yourself as a rich young man, a talented person, you may, on hearing this, turn away in disappointment and switch to a negative, dangerous approach to life in which you no longer even try to do good. But you may also follow the advice of Jesus the Lord, leave all you have and follow me, fulfilling your task in profound obedience to the holy work, to the universal chain and its emissaries. You need to tear away from yourself the delusion of being perfect, the delusion of thinking that I can do everything, L can do it well, L can do it myself. You need to see your natural urges towards virtue and knowledge in the proper light and adopt a life of what the Bible calls prayer and fasting. What does that mean? Certainly not muttering prayers for hours on end and still less living on bread and water or going without food for days or performing rituals one after the other. To the ancient sages, prayer and fasting meant focusing one's whole state of life on the other realm, the land of the Father. It meant setting free the kingdom within you and bringing every action of your will into harmony with that aim. It meant no longer listening with your ears to the cacophony of the antitheses, but opening yourself with your whole mind, your whole head, sanctuary, to the influx of the seven spirit. The ancient sages said, leave the hearing of the ears to the ears, leave the work of the mind to the mind. When the soul is still and without images, it will be open to receive. Into the open soul, Tao, the seven spirit, can descend. That is prayer and fasting. If you walk your path in that way, if you live your pupilship in that way, it will be possible to say of you, he whose movement is good will leave no tracks. then the microcosm will move in the hidden communion with God. Spirit, soul, and body will be linked with each other in fulfillment of the highest law of the divine nature. Only then will your abilities be able to be applied as they were meant to be applied from the beginning. This is the only way in which you can free yourself so as to be able to use your freedom in the service of captive humankind. Enter into the upper room, fasting, which means persevering, and praying, focusing your whole being on that single aim. When they had come into the town, they went to the upper room where they remained. All of them were together in unity, persevering in prayer. When the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Seven Spirit had become a fact. Only when that has happened will goodness and the talents of virtue and knowledge no longer carve wounds in yourself and others, for he whose movement is good will leave no tracks. He whose speech is good will not give cause for blame. He whose counting is good will need no tally. He whose closing is good will need no bolts. Yet no man will be able to open what he has shut. He whose binding is good will need no knots. Yet no man will be able to loosen what he has bound.